Good morning. It's November 16th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is Out of Life's Rubble. But before I do that, let's read two passages of Scripture, the first from Isaiah chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And my gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? And he replied, Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he. And the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. And then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Out of life's rubble. This past year, in the central part of the United States, on July the 4th, a catastrophic flooding event took place in the hill country of Texas. And really, one particular community was devastated. Kerrville, Texas. Again, on July the 4th, Kerrville, Texas experienced catastrophic flooding, with devastating consequences for the hill country. And once again, Kerrville was the epicenter of this death and destruction. As a little reminder of what happened not too long ago, the Guadalupe River rose 36 feet within a relatively short period of time, overflowing its banks and giving campers and the folks living there little time to wake up and to literally escape with their lives. 135 people died in this flood, with 119 in Kerr County alone. Sadly, the victims range from 1 year old to 91 years old. And when this was researched, there were still two individuals who were unaccounted for. And if you watch the news or if you went to YouTube, you saw roads, you saw homes, you saw RVs, you saw campgrounds, and you saw lodges were completely destroyed and washed away. The cost is in the tens of millions of dollars, but the toll emotionally is beyond cost for those who lost loved ones and literally their homes. Now, when you look at the videos and the pictures from this flood, there is debris and rubble and twisted and destroyed trees, trucks, and homes everywhere, with roads completely washed away. Destruction and debris and even rubble readily come to mind when we listen and read the words of Jesus from Luke 21. So you got to use your imagination and picture this magnificent temple in Jerusalem. This magnificent temple that was built over decades, lying in ruins with not one stone left upon another. But let me give you a little background. In 20 BC, Herod the Great started what we would call a construction project. He wanted to add and he wanted to reform the temple as it was in existence then. And believe it or not, the temple was still under construction when the Romans destroyed it in the year 70 AD. That was a 90-year construction project. In that time and era, the temple in Jerusalem was one of the most impressive structures in all the world, made of massive blocks of stone, some of them covered in gold ornamentation. Some of the stones in the temple complex measured 40 feet long, 12 feet high, and 12 feet wide, and they were expertly quarried to fit perfectly against one another. The temple itself was made of gleaming white marble, with the entire eastern wall of the main structure covered in gold plates, reflecting the morning sun, making it a spectacular sight visible for miles and miles. And once again, in 70 AD, Titus, the Roman general, built large wooden scaffolds around the temple building walls. He piled immense amounts of wood with other flammable materials, and he set them all ablaze. The fires became so intense that the stones cracked and crumbled. The Roman soldiers afterwards sifted and turned over every stone in order to retrieve the melted gold that remained behind. The remains of the temple were thrown down into the Kidron Valley. Jesus not only talked about the overthrow and the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, but he also predicted wars, rebellions, nations fighting against nations, natural disasters such as earthquakes and famines and plagues. He also predicted false messiahs. And for his followers, for the early church and for Christians, he also predicted persecution, imprisonment, and sadly, death. Now, these persecutions and imprisonment would come from other faiths, whether they were pagans or they were Jews. And representing these other faiths and societies, you had various authorities. But sadly, he predicted that family members and friends would betray Christians, that their loyalty was limited. So what do we do with these predictions? Well, some of us just want to yawn, shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, that was for them. That's not for me. Others become frightened and anxious when they read these types of predictions in the Bible. Do we ask questions like the first years, when is this going to happen and what are the signs that we're to look for? Others might say, well, that's in the past, that's history. It's time to move on. So even though we do not face rigid and relentless persecution in North America, like Christians face in parts of Nigeria, North Korea by the communists, in China by the communists, in Pakistan by the Islamists, and by Vietnam by the communists. Do you see a pattern here? In parts of the world that are ruled by Islam or by communists, and I would also say in India by Hindus, Christians face tremendous amounts of persecution and imprisonment with harassment, and some of our dear brothers and sisters in Christ have lost their lives. because of their witness and their testimony. Anyone who has and displays a strong, vibrant faith in Jesus Christ will encounter resistance. And that is true today, just as it has been true throughout all the centuries. You will face individuals who will reject you. You will face ridicule. And you might even face hostility from a complacent and indifferent American society. And we see that in popular entertainment, movies, comedies, music. We certainly see it in the academic world in this country, whether private or public. Professors and the bureaucracy are hostile, and that is saying it mildly, to historic, classical, Orthodox Christian beliefs of sexual morality and family structure. So whatever our reaction or response might be to these predictions from Jesus, it can become easy to be overwhelmed and even distracted, whereby we miss the good news of Jesus Christ because we're so worried about what's coming. Through it all, whether it is wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, betrayal from family and friends, Jesus speaks encouraging words not to become frightened and to stand firm to the end. And if you stand firm and you overcome, you will have eternal life. How often in Scripture does God proclaim to a fearful people, "Do not be afraid"? One example is Moses leading the Israelites from Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea. And with the sea before them, and with Pharaoh's armies and their chariots and horses behind them, the ancient Israelites were terrified. Moses says the following from Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 for your reference. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance which the Lord will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." Here's another scriptural example of "do not be afraid." This comes from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke. When the shepherds were in a field at night near Bethlehem, and they beheld angels from on high, they were terrified. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. You know, as Christians, when we face devastation and catastrophe in our lives, sometimes we might feel abandoned and left alone by God. And our emotions begin to get the best of us, and we begin to wander in our thinking, and we begin to say to ourselves, "Well, what does my future look like? What do I have to live for?" So whether we lose a job, or we go through a divorce, or maybe we lose a child or a loved one, or maybe our own health is at stake and it's deteriorating, we become crushed in our spirit, and we might think, "What do I have to live for?" Some of you might remember a gentleman by the name of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. He was famous for positive thinking. And Dr. Norman Vincent Peale once told of an encounter while on a cruise as it related to a hurricane. And this was in the Atlantic. After the captain managed to sail around the danger, he and Dr. Peale were visiting with one another. The captain said he always lived by a simple philosophy, namely that if the sea is smooth, it will get rough, and if it is rough, it will become smooth. And then he added something worth remembering. "But with a good ship," the captain said, "you can always ride it out." Our ship in life is our faith in Jesus Christ. With a good ship, you can always ride it out. Life is unpredictable, but God is with us. And Jesus said, "Not a hair on our heads will perish." So amid the rubble in our lives and the despair that we might encounter, there is a message from the Lord. And that message is this: there is a future with God, and the end is not yet. Stand firm and wait for God's power and deliverance in your life. The very predictions that Jesus had for the disciples and really the church all took place except for the destruction of the temple, in the book of Acts. So let's be honest. The disciples and the early church did not look forward with eager anticipation to being imprisoned, to being beaten, to being stoned, to being questioned unduly, and for some to be arrested and killed. Many Jewish Christians were kicked out of the local synagogue because they said Jesus was Messiah. Yet misfortune and persecution opened a door for Christians to testify and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people they would have never met or entertained for that matter. What a huge challenge and also what a promise. Often we think that we are inadequate and unable to speak to people about God in normal situations, much less with an angry mob or a hostile region or people. It takes great faith to trust God when we see glimmers of hope in rubble and debris all around us. If the people of Kerrville, Texas can survive a supposedly once-in-a-lifetime flood and learn to rebuild their lives, to rebuild their homes, to literally rebuild their town, and if people can survive under the rubble of life, there is hope in the future for the man and for the woman who believes and lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.